Hey guys, welcome back to the Don't Settle Squad podcast, episode 37, the Untrained Barefoot Shoe Marathon. This episode covers the toughest challenge I've ever done to date and the experience of the journey along with the lessons from completing it. In 2021, my cardio goal was to complete all separate parts of an Ironman triathlon. This would ensure I get fit and also put me in a good position if I ever wanted to do one in the future. But I picked way too many goals that year, didn't prioritise the cardio ones properly, and I only completed the swim. I didn't even train for the marathon or the cycle. Then one weekend in December, as I realised this, I said, fuck it, I'm going to go for the marathon tomorrow morning, untrained, in barefoot shoes. You said you'd do it, now it's time to back up your aspirations with your actions. This wasn't going to be a test of endurance, it was going to be a test of pure will. It was time to see how far the don't settle attitude could take me. This week's podcast, it's a good follow-on from last week's one, that humans are the most adaptable species, because it'll start to put you in the headspace that I was in and the mindset and the beliefs that I had before I completed this challenge. Because I would have learned the stuff I said in the last podcast along with so much more, and I knew then like that we are the most adaptable species on the planet, that we have so much potential. So that was ground zero for me going on to do all the things that I did, including this challenge, which was the toughest one that I've ever done and probably will be the toughest one I'll ever do, but who knows. So a nice quote to start this one off, just when I was doing the bit of prep, it's one I actually remember from around that time. I was trying to put myself back, because this is 2021, now we're 2024 July, so you know it's gone on about 3 years since I did it. So I definitely remember the quote back then of be naive enough to start and stubborn enough to finish. And that quote, I remember Ross Edgley was saying it. So this will give you more context. I'd watched Ross Edgley's Great British Swim. So if you don't know him, you can just give him a quick Google or look him up on Instagram. He's an endurance athlete who does crazy feats. And he's a few world records. And one of them was the Great British Swim. So he only did that not so long ago. Maybe it was around 2019, 2020, 2021. And I remember watching the whole series on YouTube. You can still watch it. And he records like each week as he's doing it. So he basically was the first man to swim around Great Britain, which is, you know, sounds insane. But again, because I knew all the stuff from the last podcast, I'm like, that's not insane. Like, he, you know, humans are so adaptable. He's just taken it to a level that no one else has yet. And in time, someone will beat him. And, you know, I'm not shocked by this stuff anymore. It makes sense to me. So it was great inspiration coming into this challenge. And even for that, some of the stats I remember, it was like, I think it was 157 days he was swimming 6 hours on, 6 hours off. Which, you know, unbelievable. Well, no, see, that's the wrong word, isn't it? Like, I did believe it, but just impressive. We'll say impressive. Like, so, so impressive from Ross Edgley and really inspiring to me. And I always remember as well, one part from the YouTube videos where he was telling a little story of how one day he broke. Like, he was, obviously, look, as he said, it was brutal, the whole thing, but there was one day where he just couldn't hack it. He was doing his 6 hour swim and he just said the pain was too much. Like, his face was just too much pain, because like his tongue was starting to fall apart and all these other things from being in the water for so long. And then when he looked up to the guy on the boat beside him, I was like, look, no, I need to call this. I need to call this 6 hour swim or whatever. I don't know, I'm just in too much pain. And then he goes, yeah, because there's a jellyfish stuck on your face. So he basically been swimming for like an hour or 2 hours with a jellyfish like actually on his face, stinging him and stuff. So, you know, it just really shows you what humans are capable of. Like, this is where I was watching people like Ross Edgley every day as I'm eating my dinner, updating me on, you know, his race around Great Britain. So then to go into a bit of the context before it, I was going to run the full marathon, which is 42.2 kilometers in barefoot shoes. But I had previously run 30 kilometers in barefoot shoes. So it's just important to know that, because it's so tough on the feet. It's, you know, it's basically go out and run around your garden in your bare feet. Like, you'll feel what it's like, and you have to go on the balls of your feet. And then once that gets tired and your heels start hitting the floor, you'll feel that pain. So like, it's dangerous to do that without training for it. Like, you shouldn't do that. But I had worked up slowly. Like, I still remember the first time I ran in barefoot shoes, I got about 200 meters and then I got bad pain in my feet, so I stopped. So the human body is so adaptable. I'd literally taken that from running 200 meters, my feet feeling like they're going to explode, or my Achilles tendon. Then I went 400, then I went 600, 1 kilometer, 2, 3, and I went all the way up to 30 kilometers. So again, I knew how adaptable the human body is. I knew the power of small gains, and I've been putting it into practice in loads of different ways. So none of this stuff surprised me. But I'd done that 30 kilometers 2 years previous to this challenge, and I'd only ran maybe three times within those 2 years, and I'd only done 5 or 10 kilometers in the barefoot shoes. So again, I was very detrained at that stage. So look, I knew I could do it, but then I was also very detrained. I was like, Jesus, this is, you know, this is not going to be easy. So as I said, yeah, look, just one more in December. I said, fuck it, look, I'm just going to go for it. And it's going to be, you know, a test of pure will, as I was saying there. And the last thing before I'll get into the experience, because that's what I'll go through. I'll go through the experience of it, and I'll go through the lessons learned. And, you know, that'll take up kind of 20, 30 minutes to go through it all. But one last thing was the rat study. So if you haven't seen this before, I saw it on Instagram, I'd seen it in other places. Again, it'll just kind of blow your mind in terms of what's possible when you have the right beliefs. So I actually should have done a quick recap on that study, but I didn't. But we'll go through the gist of what it was. It was basically they wanted to see how long mice could like swim for without drowning. And you know, you can Google it. I can't remember any of the stats right now. I won't bother trying to Google it here. But they got something like, was it 10 or 15 minutes? I think they were kind of trying to swim for like 10 or 15 minutes, and then they would start drowning, and then the people took them out, obviously. And then they put them back in again just to see, like, the second time, how long could they go for. And, like, the results then were incredible, not expected at all. I think it went from something like lasting 15 minutes on the first one to the second one, I think they lasted like 60 hours. Now, it sounds insane as I'm saying it, but I think that's what it was. Again, you can Google it. But anyway, the point being, the second time they lasted an insane amount longer than the first time. And the conclusions were like, you know, how is this possible? And again, coming down to the belief, like that the rats were taken out once. So like they thought or believed that they were going to be saved again. So they clung on. And of course, now they clung on obviously way longer than anyone would have thought possible for them. So again, that's just like the power of belief that we can see in rats. And again, we're humans. We're the most adaptable species. Like, what can we do? You know, so that's another story that really inspired me. And you could say that this was my own personal rat test. You know, this was for me to see, how long can I keep running until I die? You know, that's kind of the mindset I was coming into this with. So we'll get into it then. We'll get into the experience of it. So I still remember getting up that morning. You know, I didn't even really have time for nerves or anything like that, because it was just off the cuff. You know, it wasn't planned. It was just, look, Friday night, thought about all this. Fuck it, let's do it. I'm a man of my word now. I said I'd do it. Let's do it anyway. And it'll be a mad challenge. And, you know, let's put the don'ts at latitude to the test. Let's put the adaptability of the human body. Let's see what we can do here. So, yeah, there was no time for nerves or anything. There's no expectations because I haven't trained for it, you know. So there's all the pressure is kind of off me. There's no real... yeah, build up a pressure, because, like, you know, no one's expecting me to do it, but second of all, no one even knows about it. So I didn't tell anyone, like, my family didn't know or anything. So I just got up at maybe 7. Did I start at 8 or 7? I can't remember. I either started the run at 7 or 8. I think it was 8, actually. So I must have got up at 7. I think I had a bit of porridge, and then I was ready to start at 8. But I still remember it was dark. And again, if you're thinking of, like, if you've ever ran a marathon or anything like that, like, I had no prep in terms of food or anything either. Like, you know, you're meant to be carb loading, making sure you have enough water, doing all these things, and like getting food during the race and all this stuff. And I'm just like, you know, quick bowl of porridge and off we go. So again, everything is just kind of against me in terms of prep here. But that was the whole point. You know, it's going to be a test of will here. Yeah, so that's it. Remember taking off at 8 o'clock, dark out, no one's up. I think it was a Sunday morning. Cold, it's winter time, you know, the hat, two layers and the hat and everything on, and off we go. So yeah, I actually can't remember the specifics, to be honest. I remember the main points, which I've obviously wrote down, but like, I think my feet were cramping a bit after maybe, was it 5 kilometers or 10 kilometers? I remember one of my feet was on my right foot and my left foot. So, you know, that's kind of alarm bells going off there. It's like I'm planning to do 42.2, and then you're on like number 5 or 10, and yeah, the feet are starting to cramp, obviously because I'm in the barefoot shoes and I'm up on the balls of my feet. And the feet were detrained, as I said. So, but that wasn't a massive deal. Like, that used to kind of happen anyway. Even when I ran the 30 kilometers, I think they were cramping a bit early on in the race as well. And, you know, I was able to overcome it and it was fine. So that wasn't a big deal. But then around kilometer 20, that's when things started to get fucking bad. So, like, obviously none of it was easy, but I'd done that kind of stuff before. And my PB was 30 kilometres. I never ran further than 30 kilometres, so this was the first crack at the marathon. But yeah, around kilometre 20, we'll say roughly kilometres 20 up to 31, probably like the worst pain in my life that I'll ever be in. Yeah, I haven't really kind of thought back into it so much until right now. But like, what I do remember was, like, my heels are hitting the floor now at this stage. Like, I've lost the form, so I'm not in the balls of my feet. My heels are whacking the floor on each step. And yeah, I won't say go out and experience it, but like, it's fucking sore. Like, the shock is going the whole way up through your body. That's why if you just got on your bare feet now and tried to run across the floor, you'll automatically go on the balls of your feet, because it's too painful to be whacking your heels off the floor. But there was no other way for me to keep running. Like, my calves were toast, everything was done, because I wasn't trained for it. So look, I knew these things were going to happen. But yeah, heels whacking the floor and you're getting shocks up through your body. Yeah, like, was it my right hip flexor was pulling. One of my knees was very sore. Was it my right knee or my left knee? Yeah, so things are starting to break down now. Like, the feet were whacking the floor. One of my knees was fairly painful. One of the hip flexors, I think it was the right, was painful as well. It was kind of pulling and getting tightened and stopping me from having a good stride. And then, yeah, like, towards the late 20s, that's when things started to get very bad. So basically, that full, I was roughly an hour, like, from kilometer 20 to kilometer 30. That hour was insane. Like, just pain levels high in terms of physical and mental pain. So it was just, like, that's one of the lessons. Like, I was just in the fire. Like, if you think of tough parts in your training, when you're running or when you're in the gym, the tough part might last, what, a couple of minutes or something like that, you know, when you push through and you're like, oh, crammed. But like, this was just like, you have to step into the fire and you just have to stay there for a fucking hour. Or like, well, I didn't know the time, you know, it's just like, you're indefinitely in this pain. Ah, Christ, like, yeah, all the stuff I'd done up to then, like, I was being properly challenged here. Like, I'd never done anything like this before. So, yeah, it's just there with you. Like, there's nothing you can do. There's no hack or way to get rid of it. It's just, yeah, as in your hand is in the, you're just in pain, and that's it. So, then around, yeah, the 31 kilometers is when I broke then, and I stopped. So, like, again, I can see. And sorry, I should have said as well, like, I was using different strategies that I'd learned from, like, endurance runners, from following people like Ross Edgley. I'd read his book, The Art of Resilience, and followed people like David Goggins and all this stuff as well. So one of the main things I was using was segmenting. And I've talked about this before on the story. So basically what it does is it segments, excuse me, things in your brain so that, let me say that again. So segmenting, basically, your brain is a prediction machine, okay? So when you go to do something, your brain will be predicting, like, how tough is this going to be? Should I do it? Should I not do it? In terms of survival reasons. So, and it's always going to err on the side of caution. So you kind of need to know that to understand segmenting. So, for example, if I go, I'm going to run a barefoot your marathon, your brain's going to be like, no, like, that's fucking stupid, which it is, for, let's say, the average person and who doesn't want to do these kind of things. So it's going to be different if you're like, I'm going to run a marathon in your head, to I'm going to run 400 meters. Okay, so for like, when we have the bigger challenges, your brain is going to try to stop you doing them. This is like part of the pain and the tightness and everything. Like, your brain is like, stop doing this, because you're going to get closer to the red zone and, you know, possibly dying. Back in the old days, I'm obviously safe here. So the way to get over that is you can segment it. So instead of, like, this is literally what I was doing when I was on, let's say, kilometer 25, heels whacking the floor, like, different parts of my body are just in mad pain. I mean, mad physical pain and mental pain. And then I look at my watch and be like, I'm only like halfway through here. Like, how the fuck am I gonna, like, I'm not gonna be able to do this. Like, and this is obviously what's going through my head. Like, this was retired at, like, what, you know. Yeah, great, thinking this in the house, like, this is just not going to happen. Like, I'm out in up and down the hills or scamming on my own in the dark, like, you know, there's no crowd here, there's no one, like, you know, there's no fucking, you know, it's easy to be all motivated when you're at home warm, is what I'm saying, and there's no pain. Like, I'm out here in the middle of nowhere on my own, no support, no nothing. And yeah, it's a different ball game there. So that's what I was doing. I would literally see a pole in the distance and I'm like, Mark, just get to that pole. That's it. Fuck this race. Like, this was the stupidest thing I've ever run. Just get to that pole. And I'd believe it because I'm in such, I'm like, that would just keep me going. Keep right foot, left foot, keep me going. Get up to the pole. Then I get to the pole. I'll see a house in the distance. Okay, Mark, look, just go to that house. That's it. I swear, just get to that house. And so you break it up, you segment it, and then your brain, like, it feels easier, basically. A little bit easier. Rather than thinking, I've to run 20 kilometres, I'm not thinking that. I'm thinking, I've just to run to that pole, and you're believing it. So just by doing that, that really helps you to get over the tough parts, because there'll be certain parts where, like, you're so close to breaking, then you can kind of get over it with different strategies or just pure stubbornness. And yeah, whenever they came up really bad, like what happened loads of times, I'd use the segmenting or I'd use different things. So, but then at kilometer 31, like at this stage, I often think afterwards, like if someone's just getting up on a Sunday morning, you know, what would it be now, 9:30 or 10 or something, just, you know, getting up, stretching the legs, having a coffee, maybe looking out the window, and I'm there like layered up in a hat, sweat pouring off me, running like a goblin that got run over or something. And like, I just remember my back, my lower back was on fire now, because my body was trying to like go into the fetal position. It was mad. Like, my body was trying to like curl forward into a ball and just fall over, obviously, like, to protect myself. And so I had to like literally do a back extension isometric to keep running, if that makes sense to you. So I literally, my body was bending over. I had to like actively squeeze my back to try and pull my head where, my head upwards, so that I wouldn't face plant onto the ground. And I was holding that position again, just indefinitely. And so like now with all the heels banging the floor, like my knees were in pain, hip flexor, whatever. And now my lower back was on fire. So like, I was just getting closer and closer to falling onto my face. And that's what I'd said at the very start, which is going to be the first lesson about commitment. I said, look, I'm not quitting unless I hit the floor. That's it. Like, I want to see how far can I go unless I fall and hit my head. Now look, I put up my hands or whatever, like, but unless I face plant, I can still keep going. So I basically stopped before that happened. Like, it was very close to happening and I stopped at 31. And you can even see now as well, like, your expectations here are important, because thinking back now, it was definitely no coincidence that I got 31 kilometers. So I do remember one of the strategies when I was like wanting to break at 20 kilometers, 21, 20, I said, Mark, you fucking did 30 before. You can do 31 minimum. Like, you've done it. You have the evidence. This isn't belief. You've done it. So I see how that helped me, but I see how that also hindered me, because once I hit 30, the things just got so much worse. And that's what can happen as well. And it's even a thing from Goggins. Like, Goggins will say a great line, which is true. I experienced it there. He's like, something like, when you put a finish line on something, that's the starting point of quitting. And that's how the brain works as well. Remember, like I said, the prediction machine, the expectation machine. So it did keep me going all the way to 30. But once I hit 30, things instantly changed. My brain was like, you know, that was the prediction. Output and stuff just seemed to stop. The mentality was all just going downhill. So I see that mistake now in hindsight. That kilometer 31, I broke. You know, I nearly fell over. I just stopped and just put. I have the little clip of it. I did a reel on this recently on Instagram, just, you know, the quick 90-second reel, and you can see the clips in it. So go back if you missed that. It'll be on my page not so long ago. Just put my hands on my knees, checked the watch, saw the 31. Holy Lord. Like, once I actually stopped, so I hadn't stopped at all. I've ran 31 kilometers now in the barefoot shoes, through all the physical and mental pain. Once I stopped, my whole body just locked up. Like, as people will know who've ran marathons and stuff, like, you don't stop. If you stop, you probably won't get started again. So now that I'd stopped, fuck me. Like, I could barely walk now. You know, I was trying to see, could I start running again or whatever, once I just got over that pure broken feeling mentally and physically. But then I was like, fuck, I don't even know if I can walk here. Like, and I'm out in the middle of, I'm in Moore Park actually, if anyone from Roscommon's listening to this. So up and down, and it's a very hilly park as well. Jesus, didn't make it easy on myself up and down those hills. So yeah, now I was like, fuck, this is getting a bit, not dangerous, but I mean, I don't even think I can get home now. I don't even think I can walk home. You know, probably time to ring mum and dad, even though they don't know where I am. probably should have told someone. But that was it. So I broke there and I was like, look, this is it. This is done. Look, I got the 31. You know, nothing to be ashamed of. I've just untrained barefoot shoe marathon attempt and I got 31 kilometers in it, you know. But I'd also prepared for this. So I obviously know how adaptable humans are and all the stuff I mentioned, but I'm also a realist. Like, I'm not, you know, I don't think I can fly, or like, I'm not delusional. You know, maybe someone will listen to this or laugh and think, well, but like, you know, I truly don't believe I'm delusional. Like, I know what's possible. I've seen the people that have done it. Why can't I be one of those people? And a very strong belief, and, you know, a pure belief in human evolution and in myself. So, but yeah, on the realist side of it, I knew, yeah, things go wrong. I knew there's a high chance I'm not going to make it. Like, I believe that I can, but there's a high chance I'm not going to make it because I'm not trained for it. So I had a bit of a failsafe. Like, look, if I do break, what am I going to do? I'm going to try another strategy. And it was to blare the Rocky soundtrack full volume in my ears. Because I think I was actually listening to a Jocko podcast. I can't remember. I actually can't remember. But yeah, I think I just put on like a, you know, a 4-hour Jocko podcast about war stories and different things like that, because that's what gets me going. You know, I'm here running, oh, you know, my body is sore, and I'm listening to people like getting their legs blown off in war and all this stuff. I'm like, ah, it's not too bad. So that's the stuff I love. So I think I had a podcast on, but then at this broken point, yeah, I just put on the Rocky. There's like a loop on YouTube, like an hour long loop of it, blared it, and mad. Like, I'll get to that in the lesson, but inspiration came back like out of nowhere, you know, because I'm out in the cold, you know, dark park on my own up and down these hills, and then yeah, just revived out of nowhere, and I was able to start walking. Now, so I couldn't really walk, now I was able to walk. And then I thought from there, look, I looked at the watch, I think I'd done like 3.5 hours or something, or 3 hours 40, something like that, to get to 31 kilometers. And then I was like, right, just walk home. You know, you said you'd complete it if you didn't hit the floor. You didn't hit the floor, you didn't face plant. If you can't do what you want, do what you can. Like, I tell all my clients with injuries and stuff, I can't run, but I can walk. So I'm going to fucking walk it and I'll complete it. So I looked at my watch and I was like, look, under 5 hours. Get it in under 5 hours. Again, the prediction, the expectation, pushing myself, I made it in 4:59. Walking like, again, walking like John Wayne up the street there, or all around the park and up the street. Again, people probably thinking, what is this lunatic doing on a Sunday morning? So that was it. Made it back in 4:59. So completed the untrained barefoot shoe marathon, 42.4 kilometers in 4 hours 59 minutes. Ran 31 kilometers. Just can't even do the simple maths now. Rambling on here. What? Yeah, the other 11 kilometers, 11.2 kilometers, I walked it. And then yeah, just got, I remember getting home, got inside the door, just lay on the floor. You know, just lay on the floor. And that was it. Like, you know, there's no finish line, no celebration here, because I didn't do it for any of that. Like, I could have obviously just joined a marathon, you know, with loads of people cheering for me and different. Like, I didn't fucking care. You know, I didn't do it for the external accolades. You know, I did this for myself. I did it to show myself what's truly possible and that I can do whatever the fuck I want in this one life that I have. So that was it. Never actually recounted it until now, a couple of years later. But Jesus, yeah, that was it. So what are we, 24 minutes in? Okay, so we'll get to the lessons learned now. This will take just 5 or 10 minutes, a little bit of a longer one today. And it's funny because I have, when I made the Instagram reel on this, I looked back at my notes. So I did do notes on Instagram stories about like 5 lessons I learned back then, you know, in 2019. And then, you know, they're way too long. That's me, I'm, you know, the deep dive on these things. So I just did a little summary of it, of how I thought about it now, and I put that in the reel. So I'll go through the longer notes so you can see I was thinking back then, and then I'll give you the little spin on how I think about it now. So if I go back to the 5 lessons, so I have the screenshots here from the stories. Yeah, number one I had down back then was commitment is everything. And this is so true. So I'll even read out the thing I had here on the story, so we'll see how 2019 Marcus was thinking. So what did I say? I said, yeah, there can't be any ifs or maybe about it. You're either going to fucking do something or you aren't. There is no in between for something like this. You can't be on the fence mentally. If you are, you'll just look for excuses to quit, and there's going to be too many to count. So what did I say then? Oh yeah, you also understand that with full commitment, you still will doubt yourself many times. It will happen sooner or later. and it'll slowly keep increasing until you reach your breaking point. But here's the important realization: you are going to break at some point. So just like I was saying already. So, you know, again, mad belief in myself coming from evidence and fact of us being the most snapless species on the planet, but I'm not delusional. And I know that, look, there's often, everyone has some sort of breaking point when they're going for these challenges. And that's what I'm saying there as well. I'm like, don't go in thinking I'm unbreakable, I'll never quit, you know, oh, don't settle, I'll never settle and I can't be broken. Like, it's all bullshit. You know, it's all bullshit. You're going to break. You just need to accept it. So then while I said, yeah, it's actually better to realize this and understand it, that you have a limit. We all do. We aren't machines. Accept this limit, and this preempts the problem. Because if you think you never break, and then you actually do break, now it's over. So like in that moment, at 31 kilometers, if I had been more delusional and just thought, oh, you know, I didn't settle, I've done all these mad things and all, I'm like Ross Edgley now, blah, 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 and then I break at 31 kilometers, I'd be completely broken now. Because again, I thought I could never be broken, and now I've been broken. So, oh, I can't do it now. You see, like, it's not an empowering way to look at it. So I'd say the don't settle attitude is understanding this, that you will meet your breaking point, but you will gather yourself and keep going anyway. Once you remind yourself of your why and the commitment you made to yourself before you started. And then, I'm just saying at the end, I told myself, like, I wasn't going to settle unless I hit the floor. And you'll find out that you can endure a lot more than you think once you have this full commitment. I was broken physically and mentally, but I didn't fall. The other bit's actually kind of blurred out there. Yeah, but that was basically it. So the commitment is everything. And that was the start of it all. If I didn't make a commitment at the start of the race that, look, I'm not going to quit unless I hit the floor, I definitely wouldn't have got as far as I did and been able to complete it. And what did I say then in the real? Yeah, I just said, yeah, set a standard, don't settle for less. It'll take you further than you ever thought possible. That's a little snapshot of it there. To go back over then, so number two, what did I have? You don't get tougher and stop feeling pain. You just learn how to deal with pain better. Yeah, that's a crucial point as well. Because I still remember thinking back, or actually I'll just read this. I knew this already, but now I got to seriously put it into practice and really experience it. I'll never be an armchair expert. I want to learn through the fire and flames, be the man in the arena. So I heard ages ago from Ross Edgley that groups of people were studied after being put through training programs on the road bike. The main takeaway from the study was the ones who could keep going for longer on the road bike still got pain at the same point as they did before. But the only difference was that they were able to endure it now. So that was the key. Again, you know, through the RAT study, through Ross Edgley, through this road bike study that Ross shared, that's the crucial point. And I didn't know this before. So that's why I was sharing it, because I used to think, oh, the likes of Goggins, all these guys are just tough, they never break. But I've broke loads of times, so I could never do these things. But again, through seeing this, you don't get tough and stop feeling pain or whatever, you just actually learn how to deal with the pain better. So just like I said about the fire, it's not as if, oh, the fire won't start now, the fire will start way later, or the fire is less intense or anything. It's like, no, you just become more comfortable in the fire. And I think that's what I had for the line now. Yeah, how did I put this in the reel? I just said resilience is down to your relationship with pain. That's how I'd sum that up now 3 years later. And I said, yeah, you know the relationship is improving when you become more comfortable in the fire. There is no hack here. Resilience is just strategically managed suffering, and you learn how to manage it better one small gain at a time. There you go. That's a synopsis. And that's actually Ross Edgley's line too from his book. Resilience is just strategically managed suffering. And that's what he would have done when he was swimming 6 hours on, 6 hours off for the Great British Swim. So on to number three. What are we here? This is 2019 mark now. Your brain is wired to stop you doing hard things. Once you understand this, then you can override it. A brain has one goal, survival. This is an innate drive within all humans and other species to survive, so we can reproduce and keep the species living on. So we have no control or ability to turn off these urges like thirst, hunger, sex, etc. We all feel them. But here's the important point. We can't control the urges, but we can control our reaction to the urges. Once you understand that your brain will make you want to stop anything tough, brackets because it wants you to save energy for survival reasons, you know that you can push through it if you want. You can overcome the urges, and it's kind of blocked out then from the stuff on Instagram. Yeah, but that was basically it. Did I use that one for the reel? Your brain is wired. No, I couldn't fit that one into the reel. But that's a very important point too. Again, just understanding that if you go anywhere outside of your comfort zone, your brain will actively try to stop you doing it. It's just a warning signal. Think of it like a car. It's just like an orange light coming on the car. You can still drive the car. You can still complete loads of journeys. It's just a little warning. But we understand that with the car, but with the brain, we don't. We feel pain. We feel, oh, fuck, I'm not going to be able to complete this. And we think, I'm completely broken. I can never do it. Not true. If you learn all this stuff I'm telling you, you put it into action, you can push through those and you'll actually see, oh, that was actually just a bit of a warning light. Same as the car. So that was key as well. So we'll go on to number four. Two more left. Stories are more powerful than you will ever know. This is 2019 mark here. Emotions come from our beliefs, and our beliefs come from the stories we tell ourselves. Once you know this, you can design your mindset over time in a way that makes you anti-fragile. You tell yourself a story in your head that is empowering to you. This will then feed into your beliefs, and this feeds into your emotions. For me, well, I'm the fucking guy who didn't settle, haven't I? Even though this is only a story in my head that I made up, it doesn't matter. If you believe it and live it, then it'll become your reality, and this feeds into your emotions. I believe this deep in my heart and soul, in my bones. I don't get what I deserve, I get what I settle for. And I won't settle for anything other than my true potential, my true self. And I told myself this story for over 4 years now, pushed through so much, I've proved it to myself how it's true. And so in these times here, where I can barely walk, I tell myself, you're the fucking guy who didn't settle. The marathon thinks it took you out. You don't fucking know me, son. The Goggins line coming in there. Obviously, probably read his book around that time. And then I said, yeah, look, I eat shit like this for breakfast. 10 years of chronic pains and injuries couldn't take me out. What chance does the fucking marathon have? You know, that's the mindset I was getting into then. Like, you just, yeah. You can feel, I can feel the emotion now, even doing that. So, like, once I think that in my head, because that's my beliefs and that's what I've done over the last 4 years, the emotion comes up then. And the emotion is what puts you in motion, which you'll see in the next one. So, as I'm saying, I felt a surge of energy. The hair on the back of my neck stands up when I go through that in my head. You know, you feel like Goku turning Super Saiyan. So, you need to have a story that you connect with on an emotional level. You need to be the hero of your own story. This is what's going to inspire yourself in these tough moments when no one else is around. Because that's what I was saying, I'm out in the middle of nowhere on my own, trying to do this, like there's no one cheering me on or anything like that. So that was number four. What did Kurt Marcus say a few weeks ago on that? Yeah, I just said beliefs are more powerful than you will ever know. So look, stories, beliefs, they're the same thing really. And yeah, the guy didn't settle, that's the story that I believe in my heart and soul. So very similar there. And I just said, when you understand the true power of the human spirit, or sorry, once you actually go through all of the stuff that I've mentioned and you're able to push past something you couldn't before, that's when you start to understand the true power of the human spirit and what's actually possible for you. And then you'll start to understand how people like Ross Edgley and David Goggins, how they actually do these things. That they're not like aliens from another planet. So last one then, emotions are what put you in motion. This is a key one too. Like, even think of the word emotion. Take out the E, motion. Like E-motion, emotions. Like, that's literally what they're for. Emotions are literally designed evolutionarily to put us in motion. So let's see what 2019 Mark said. That's exactly what I said. The whole evolutionary power of emotions is to put us in motion, for us to move towards water, food, etc. If we hijack the purpose of emotions and channel it in the right direction, you'll keep moving forward towards your goals. The last story was inspiring, wasn't it? Guy didn't settle and all that, eh? Yeah, great. But that story can only jumpstart me so many times on this run. The reality hits and I'm so fucked. So motivation will die and you need to have a backup plan. Yeah, and I had my backup plan, which I've already mentioned. So I said, if I do break mentally, my Hail Mary was to play Rocky theme tune on repeat and channel energy from that. So if you can't create the motion internally, create the motion externally. So that was the big key there. All the kind of beliefs and all those other things, the don't settle attitude, a lot of that was like internally created through my beliefs and my stories. But once that was failing me, I needed a crutch. I needed something externally to create that emotion again. And that's what music does, if you don't realize that now. Music helps you access parts of yourself that you struggle to access on your own, but they're in there already. So that's a key thing. Like, do you think music changes you? And it doesn't. Everything you need is within, as Musashi would say. But it just helps you to access that incredibly resilient part of yourself that's in your DNA that you struggle to access on your own. Okay, but it's already in there. So again, another very empowering thing to understand. So I didn't know that back then. To that level of detail, but it's essentially the same point. So as I'm saying, to go back now to 2019, if your internal stories are failing, reach to your external ones. Who inspires you? Who drives you? What song makes you feel like you can run through a brick wall? Use it. So I blared Rocky and I started to feel like the Terminator. I could barely walk, but next thing, one foot was moving in front of the other and I was able to complete it in 4 hours 59 minutes. Emotion is fuel for motion. Without it, you have an empty gas tank. And what did I say now? 3 years later after that, about the emotion is designed to put us in motion. Yeah, I'm just saying, when you understand this, you can use it to your advantage. Yeah, nothing new there really. Okay, so that was it. What are we now? 35 minutes in. That is a full recap. Probably should have done it before, but now I have it. And if anyone asks me, I'll just be sending them this podcast. But yeah, mad experience overall. So look, the conclusion there was, you know, come back to like, why did I do all this? I had an internal reason and I had an external reason. So internally, I just wanted to prove to myself what I preach about. Things like the don't settle attitude, the amazing adaptability of the human body and the power of small gains. It's like all these things I'm preaching, I want to... Oh, we need to go gym now, a few minutes. So yeah, I just wanted to prove all these things to myself. And that's what I did. And then, like, even I think I'd said somewhere before, like, now that I've literally proved all those things to myself so many times and on this, you know, crazy challenge, if we're looking from the average person, like, just think of how shattered my ceiling is for what's possible for me in this life. You know, like, when anyone, if I ever hear things like, oh, you couldn't do this or you can't do that, like, I laugh inside. Like, I won't bother trying to convince that person. Sometimes I might, sometimes I won't, but like, I literally just laugh internally. You know, I'm like, motherfucker, please. Like, you know, the person who might be saying something, like, they've probably never even ran 10 kilometers. Do you know what I mean? If we're just thinking like the average person, and then like, you know, they might be saying, you can't do X, Y, Z. And I'd be like, in my head, like, I've literally got up one day randomly and just ran a fucking untrained marathon. Do you know what I mean? Like, just our levels of resilience, our levels of beliefs, our levels of like evidence of what we've done, we're just light years apart. Like, so like that person, they literally can't even comprehend what is possible in this life, and they project that onto me. You know, I used to soak that up all my life before this, and now that shit bounces off me like a fucking trampoline. Like, it's just, once you go through all this, you're set. Like, you just need one experience. You don't need to do this crazy shit that I've done there. Like, you just need one experience where you push through something that you did not believe was possible. Now you have that evidence. Now, no matter what anyone else is saying, you have evidence. That's what your brain goes off. Your brain doesn't go off like looking in the mirror and saying affirmations and I can do this and I can do that. The delusional stuff I talked about before. Your brain needs evidence of it. And if you have even just one evidence of you pushing through and doing something that you never thought was possible, that's it. Glass shattered forever. And what other people are saying is going to stop matter. So that's why I did it. And now I have that. Like, I already had different ones. Like, look, overcame 10 years of chronic pains and injuries. Got back to jiu-jitsu in the gym. Got the front splits that I was told was impossible. You know, got a handstand push-up close to one arm chin-up. Now I had this one. Like, as Goggins would say, cookies in the cookie jar of showing yourself what's possible. Now I had untrained barefoot shoe marathon. In you go. For me, the cookie could barely fit in the jar. You know, no one's going to tell me shit anymore. I can do whatever I want in this life. So that was the internal reason. But externally then, look, I share my journey. That's how I became a coach and everyone else. Like, I want to inspire other people. Once I figured out a more empowering way to live life and I was changing my life on all levels, you know, what like, am I just going to live that life on my own? It's like, no, I want to inspire and educate other people to do the same in their own life. That's what lights me up. So I did it for you guys as well. Like, I wanted to inspire you. Anyone like setting up a chronic pain and injury, or, you know, anything in life as well, but that's the main one, isn't it? Like, chronic pain and injury, to show you what's possible. Like, if I can go from, I was literally forced to retire probably 3 years before that, 3 or 4 years before that barefoot shoe marathon I just went through there. I was literally on physio tables, on doctor tables, gone to 5 of the best experts I could try and find, paid all the money, blah, 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 told my body's fucked, like, told to settle, can't do this, can't do that, like, take up swimming, you're done. You know, just think of that. That's what it, like, if I could give that to younger Mark, that's the stuff that would just snap him out of the Bubble Wrap Brigade's program and just be like, man, I can fucking do this. Like, fuck them. Fuck anyone telling me I can't do these things. If I don't settle, if I have the right attitude and approach, if I chase the small gains, believe in myself, like, I can do whatever I want to do. I can get back to sport and then do anything I want in this life. So that's what I wanted to show you guys as well. Like, if I can go from A to Z, you can go from A to D, you can go from A to F, A to M, you can go from A to Z too if you want. And even, I actually forgot with the reel, because I did that at the time, one of my clients actually did the same thing. One of my clients, Shane O'Connor, so he's an amateur golfer, he's on the testimonial page for Physical Freedom, he actually did it as well. You know, which I actually forgot about that. So yeah, just when I was doing the recap, he actually did it as well. Just again, and that's literally what I'm talking about here. Like, it's not about the marathon, it's not about the actual run, it's just I did something that shattered other people's beliefs about what's possible, just like Ross did for me, just like David Goggins did, just like me looking at human evolution did. So like, that's how the human mind works. You can't even, if you can't even comprehend something as possible, you're never going to do it. How would you? Because you can't even comprehend it. So other people doing these things shatters those beliefs. Now you actually can comprehend it. Now you can actually believe that it's possible, because you can see, like, my starting point of all the injuries, not able to even play sport, and now I'm doing something like this, and with the same DNA, the same ability to adapt. So now you can see things are possible. Then you push, then you try and do it, and then, as I said, you got your one piece of evidence now that'll serve you for the rest of your life. So yeah, geez, we're getting pumped here, but we're gonna call it there. That's 40 minutes. I could do another right now. No, we're not going to do it. We're just going to go gym and train smart, which is what I do most of the time. I just do these mad challenges sometimes. So I used to do them like once a year, but yeah, look, lately, some of my old injuries flared up and different things, if you're following me on Instagram. So now, look, I've proved it. I don't need to prove that stuff to myself anymore now. Just training towards goal safety is the main thing. Who knows in future? Look, maybe I'll do a triathlon or something one day. Who knows? But that is it. So now, three ways I can help you. We've got the Physical Freedom Program there. It's my one-to-one coaching program, how to overcome chronic pain and injury, reach your athletic potential. I've worked with hundreds of clients across 37 different sports and activities over three separate continents and covering all joints of the human body. So you can check that out. Check out all the client testimonials. I see Shane's in there as well, actually, on the website. So if that's you, if you have chronic pain and injury, you should be inspired now. If you're hearing all of them come through there, well, at least in my own experience, that's what lighted me up. Like, just to show you what's possible, because I've been where you are, thinking, I can't even play this sport, I can't even iron shirts, blah, 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 blah. And like, you just don't even know what's possible for you. And let me show you. I'll blow your mind in terms of what's possible. And when I get you on the path, educate you, show you, get you the small gains, you see the changes, you'll know that you can come back as well. So if that's you, DM me. On Instagram is where I'm most active, or else email at guidancel@gmail.com. You have the two other courses there, the Mental Freedom course as well. That's my self-awareness course that teaches you how to stop looping and suffering, how to skillfully navigate your own mind. And we have the Lifestyle Design University there too. So that's my cheapest one, just from €49. I'll give you the blueprint to design the life true to yourself and avoid the biggest regret of humanity. So that's it. So for the follow, we got the website there and the documentary's up there as well if you didn't see it. And for contact, like I said, DM on Instagram or email at guidancel@gmail.com. Sweet.